Let me start with a summary of what we have been seeing on Tuesday. Okay?
So, first thing, we have seen that we are not able to represent exactly the tangent code through linearizations of the physical region around a given point, where the linearizations are given through first order Taylor expansion of the constraint, which can in the end read this way. When the physical region is given through a set of inequality constraints.
What we did then is the following.
Well, we have a minimum point. We know that optimality can be, sorry, this is the
notation we generally use. So, we have a minimum point, then we know that
the scalar product of the gradient is non-negative with each direction in the tangent cone.
Since the linearizing set in which we consider strict
inequalities is contained
in the tangent cone, we can rewrite this
as the scalar product of the gradient is non-negative with all directions in this linearizing set, which is equivalent to saying that this system has no solution, D narrow.
Okay? These are the inequalities which describe the linearizing set. So, if I'm saying this is greater or equal to zero for each direction, means that it is impossible to find a direction in this set such that the scalar product is negative.
And then we exploit Nofsky's theorem of the alternative to get to these optimality conditions, the sum here should be only on active constraints, but since we are this complementarity flatness condition, which says that the coefficients here are zero if the multipliers, if the constraint is not active, we can sum all over the constraint. And this one with so actually there exists theta zero and lambda I greater or equal than zero, not all zero such that these conditions are satisfied.
This is the multipliers rule, and this is the complementarity flatness condition.
Okay, so this is somehow a summary
of what we did,
and then we discuss that if we add a constraint qualification then we can suppose that theta zero is different from zero and therefore it can be taken equal to one.
Okay?
The basic condition we exploited here was the most simple one.
The most simple one was saying, okay, what happens if this is zero? If this is zero, the gradients have to be linearly dependent. So, if I suppose that the gradients are linearly independent, the gradient of the active constraints, this cannot be zero.
Okay? And so this led to the very first formulation of the KKT theorem, which says that we have in our physical region a local minimum point, such that the gradient of the of x bar of the constraints which are active at x bar are linearly independent, then there is lambda I greater equal than zero, such that we have the Lagrange multipliers rule, plus the complementarity flatness condition. Okay? This is a system of n equations in the variables lambda I and x. These are other m equations. Okay? So we are looking for a solution of this system of equations such that x is also feasible and the lambda i's are non-negative. Okay? So these are called the KKT conditions altogether. Lagrange multipliers rule, complementarity, slackness conditions, and feasibility.
We also said that a constraint qualification
is any condition on the physical region such that this condition holds true. Okay? We know that without any additional assumption on the physical region, we end up with a multiplier corresponding also to the objective function, which could be zero. Okay? Constraint qualification are those conditions which guarantee them not to be zero, and I gave you a couple of them.
Okay?
Beyond linear independence. I told you that you can replace linear independence with Slater condition. Slater condition is telling you two things. The first thing is that the function gi are convex, at least for active constraints, and also that there exists a point in Rn which satisfies all the inequality strictly. Okay? Which is equivalent to asking that x hat
is in the interior of the feasible region, capital X. Because by continuity, if these are all negative, there is a ball centered around the point in which the functions are less or equal than zero, and so all the points of that ball belong to the set.
The other one I gave you is the circle of Mangazzani. Which can be given very simply, just saying that the linearizing set is non-empty when we consider strict inequalities. Okay? So it means that there is at least a direction D such that all these scalar products are negative. Okay?
And it is possible to show that this holds true, meaning this is true with theta 0 equal 1, also in this case. Okay? And I try to explain you now a little bit why. Check this system, okay? Somehow it's like saying we have 1 here, okay? And if you remember, Mach's theorem was telling you that I will give you just the version we are interested in. This system is impossible as no solution if and only if, so this is impossible, if and only if there exists theta positive and lambda I greater or equal than zero, such that, okay, these are more than one, so theta k, the sum of theta k I plus sum of lambda I, no, a lambda s, sorry. BL is zero, okay, and, okay, no, these are, and this should be not all zero, okay? Not all zero stands to the part which corresponds to strict inequality here, okay? Well, let's check our situation. Here we have, this is just a unit, okay, unit k, which is given by the gradient. And we know that the coefficient is non-zero, okay? And the others have non-negative coefficients, which could be all zero, okay? So, this is a case of this, okay, where you don't have the sum here, you just have a unique one, as if here you were having a unique strict inequality, okay? So, this, let me call them KKT conditions, by Mach's theorem, are equivalent to the impossibility of this system. So KKT condition holds if and only there is no D which satisfies all these inequalities. Okay? But once again, check what are these inequalities telling you? These inequalities are exactly telling you that D should belong to the linearizing set with less or equal conditions. Okay? So KKT conditions
are equivalent to the impossibility of this system. Or let's go back. And in general, we have that this set is greater than the tangent cone. Okay? So this is surely true when we allow a necessary optimality condition, because this can be written as the impossibility of this blue system, let me call the blue, where we take direction in the tangent cone. And the tangent cone is the other way. Okay. If this is true, then this is true for all directions in the tangent cone, because the tangent cone is a subset here. So we are saying that for all directions in the tangent cone, this scalar product cannot be negative. And so this is true. But we are sorry that this is a necessary optimality condition. Okay? So here the direction of the arrow spread. Okay? When it is possible to go the other way around? It is possible if, for instance, the tangent cone is not just a subset of the linearizing set, but it is equal to it. So when these are equal, here there is no reason to consider this linearizing set. We can consider the other one, the larger one, because these two would become equivalent. And then here, rather, with Motzkin, we would have this, and then this, the KKT condition. Okay. So, indeed, we could also say that constraint qualifications are those conditions on the feasible regions which guarantee this equality, okay, which tell you I can exactly represent the tangent cone through the linearizations of the active constraints. Okay. And indeed, you can show that linearly independent, Slater condition, and Mangazarian form of its condition imply this condition here. Okay? So constraint qualification are those conditions who guarantee this equality. And this equality is what gives us the KKT conditions rather than the Fritz-Jahn conditions. Okay? So, indeed, this is exactly what we wanted. We wanted the possibility to represent the tangent cone through algebra, through an explicit description through inequalities. Okay? And this is what happens when the constraints are qualified. Okay? So, I'm showing you two cases. First one, constraints are not qualified. I show you an example in which we have the Fritz-Jahn conditions here. Fritz-Jahn conditions, but we don't have the KKT conditions. And then I show you a case in which we are sure that constraints are qualified. So the example is in R2, and we have three constraints. The objective function is x1 plus x2 squared. The first constraint is g1 x1 squared plus x2 minus x1 squared minus 1.
The second constraint is almost the same, but rather than x2 minus 1, we have x2 plus 1. And then the third constraint is, no, sorry, two are enough. Okay, two constraints are enough. What is this constraint telling you? The first constraint is telling you that x1 squared plus x2 minus 1 squared has to be less or equal than 1. This is the circle of center 0, 1 and radius 1. Okay, so if we draw the picture, this is the circle whose center is here in 0, 1 and the radius is 1. Okay. So we must be inside this circle. The other one is similar, except that the center is in 0 minus 1. Okay. 0 minus 1. Okay, I must be in this circle and in this other circle. So, what is the intersection of the two circles? Okay, it's just a single point, the origin. Okay, so we have this constraint, the visible meter is just the origin. Okay, what's the tangent cone? Okay, the tangent cone of a single point. Okay, all curves must belong to the set, so all curves must be made by only the zero vector. So the tangent cone is the zero vector itself. Okay. So the tangent cone is zero and it is equal also to the visible region. Okay? Let's check if what's the linearizing set. Okay? So, let's compute the gradient of G1, the gradient of G2. The gradient of G1 is 2x1, 2x2 minus 1. And the gradient of G2 is 2x1, 2 times x2 plus 1. We compute the gradient in 0, and the gradient in 0 are 0 minus 2 and 0, 2. First remark, the gradients are linearly dependent. Okay, so that condition up there is not satisfied. Okay. Is Slater condition satisfied? No, because we would need a point which is both in the interior of the circle and in the interior of the other one, which is not possible. So, this condition is also false. Okay? Is there any point in this linearizing set with strict inequalities? Well, there should be a vector who has a... So, let me write them. We should have a vector. So, this is... 0 minus 2 and this is, and the other one is 0, 2. Okay? There should be a vector which has negative scalar product with both. Okay? To have scalar product, negative scalar product with G1, it must be in this subspace. Okay? To have negative standard product with G2, it must be in this other half space and not on the boundary. So the intersection is empty. If you want to see it algebraically, the first condition tells you that D2 has to be positive, and the second condition tells you that D2 has to be negative. So,
this linearizing set is empty.
So that also the Mangalorean Kramovitz type condition is not satisfied.
If this condition satisfies, because
actually this is the one we are interested in, okay? If we put less or equal, this is telling you that D2 has to be greater or equal than zero, and this is telling you that D2 has to be less or equal than zero. Indeed, all these vectors have, if you take any vector here or here, the scalar product with the other two is zero because the angle is 90 degrees. Okay? So,
this other set is larger than the physical region because it's zero times, it's R times zero. I can take it.
It's the horizontal axis. So it does not coincide with T. It's larger.
Are the KKT conditions satisfied? We need also the gradient of the alternative function, which is 1, 2x2. So if we compute it in 0, it is 1, 0.
Okay.
No, sir. Here.
Yes, sir. Right. 1, 2. So, okay. Here we have the gradient of G1. The gradient of G2. And here we have the gradient of f. Okay. If I take all possible combination of these two with non-negative coefficients, but also with negative coefficients, it doesn't mind. What I get is this line. Okay. No matter how I choose the coefficients here, what I get is this line, okay? Because I'm summing multiples of these vectors, so I get this. And I cannot get this, and I cannot get minus this. You can do the algebraic computation. I mean, here is that one equal to zero times lambda 1 plus 0 times lambda 2. Okay? For this condition to be true, 1 should be equal to 0. Okay? But the Fritz-John condition are satisfied because here it is enough to take this equal to 0 and lambda 1 and lambda 2 equal to 1. Okay? Because if you sum these two vectors, their sum is 0. Okay? So if here you put 1 for both indexes, you get 0 here, you put 0 in the coefficients, and so this is satisfied. Okay? Oh, I didn't tell you explicitly, but it is clear that both constraints are active in 0. okay? Because this is 1 minus 1 and this is 1 minus 1. So, this is an example. So, indeed there exist problems which do not satisfy constraint qualification. Please notice that I have other ways to represent zero. Okay? This is a rather complex way to say that your physical region is given by zero. Okay? And I didn't tell you either, but it is obvious. It's the unique point, so it's the minimum and it's also maximum. Qualifications depend on the way you represent it constraint. So they are a property which is related not only to geometry, but also to the way you represent geometry. Okay? If you change the description of the very same region, you describe it by different functions, okay? The constraint might be qualified. Okay? So, to be really precise, constraint qualification has to be understood in the sense of the qualification of the description of the constraint. Okay? For instance, let's say, how can you represent 0, 0? Well, you could ask, you could write these four in the coordinates. Okay? If you write this four inequality, you can do it as an exercise, the constraint is qualified. Or is it not? Yes. Okay? So all we are talking about is strictly related to the way we represent the constraint. But if you think, let's say philosophically, there is no other way you can know a region of the space other than its description. Okay. But if your region is pretty simple, you can try different descriptions. Okay. They do not necessarily bring to the same result. And it is clear, because here it is here also from formulas. I'm changing the functions. Okay. So there is no reason why it should hold for all descriptions. I promised you to give you a case in which constraints are always qualified, and that is the case in which constraints are linear. If constraints are linear, you don't need to put any additional assumption, because linear constraints are automatically qualified. They always satisfy this. Always. So, let's suppose that X is a polyhedron represented this way. It is the set of points in Rn such that Ax is less or equal than B, where A is n times n matrix, and B is a vector in Rn. The usual constraints you were used to in operational research, in linear programming. Okay? And I want to show you that with no assumption, this implies that the tangent cone at any point, x bar, is equal to the linearizing set with less or equal for any feasible x bar. The proof is not difficult. It's very similar to what you've been seeing in when you were studying the simplex algorithm to choose the length you moved away from a vertex. Okay, are almost the same formulas. So I proved this. Let's call AI transpose the generic role of the matrix, okay? In such a way that this physical region can be described in the usual way, where the functions GI are XI transpose X minus DI. Okay. If I use this function, it's the same way. Is exactly the same description I have here. Okay, I'm doing this component by component. Okay. Now we have actually three cases to consider: active constraints. Okay. So I want to show this equality, that the tangent cone is a subset of the linear set, is always true. Okay, we proved it on Tuesday. So we need to prove that any point in the linear set is also in the tangent cone. So let's take D in the linear cone. Okay, and I will consider the points which are the x bar in this form, x bar plus t times d, and I want to show you that if t is small enough, then this point is feasible. Okay, so I can move, I can approach x bar along direction D, okay, from the inside of the feasible region. Which means, if this belongs to capital X, it means that the direction D is in the tangent cone. Okay? Because tangent cone tells you there exists a sequence Dn and a sequence Dn going to D such that it is feasible. Okay? I take any sequence, and Dn I take it always equal to D. So I just need to show that this is feasible for small enough values. Active constraints. So let's check this. But this is A at x bar plus T times this times D minus Di. X bar, no, sorry, I is an active constraint. So this quantity at x bar is zero, so that this is equal to this, okay? So this is zero, means that this quantity is equal to this other quantity. So this cancels. Okay? This in the linearizing cone, what's the gradient of GI? The gradient of GI at every point is vector AI. So the condition that GI x bar d is less or equal than zero is just saying that AI transpose d is less or equal than zero. So since this is the gradient, the fact that d is in the linearizing cone says that we have the inequality. Okay? For active constraints.
So this quantity is less or equal than zero. T is positive, so this is less or equal than zero.
Okay?
If the active is constrained and the direction is in the linearizing cone, this is feasible for all positive T. Suppose the constraint is not active, but we still have this point. We still have this inequality. Okay? The reasoning is exactly the same. It's almost the same. Because we have this. This is less or equal than zero.
Okay?
This is no longer zero because it is no longer active, but the part is feasible, so this is in any case less or equal than zero.
Okay?
So this, since x bar is feasible, is less or equal than zero. Actually, since it's not active, is less than zero, so this is less than zero.
Okay?
So, actually you can put the two cases together.
Okay?
You can say, if one of these two situations happens, I can write it once again, this is less or equal than T AI transpose D, which is less or equal than zero.
Okay?
So here I will okay, here we consider this, so I now can consider the last case. The last case is the bad guy. The active is not constrained, is not active, sorry, and this quantity is positive.
Okay?
This chain of inequality is no longer true. Okay? Well, let's please check. I want to know when it is true that this is less or equal than zero. But this is less or equal than zero if and only if this is less or equal than zero. And this is less or equal than zero, you do the computation, if T is less or equal than BI, I bring it here, minus AI transpose X bar, all divided by this scalar product. I can divide because this scalar product is positive. Okay? So this is just an algebraic... So, if I take T smaller than all these quantities all over non-active constraint such that this condition is satisfied, then the point is feasible. Okay? So my conclusion is, I write it here, and then we take a short break. My conclusion is that x plus td is feasible if t is less or equal than the minimum of these quotients, where I is not active and this scalar product is positive. Okay? If you remember the simplex algorithm, okay, This inequality was the one giving you the step from going, for going from one vertex to another.
Since we are speaking about linear programming, there is one last thing I want to show you. We are speaking about linear constraints. So this is the reason why also when you are dealing with non-linear objective function, you are happy if you have linear constraints. Okay? Because linear constraints give you the KKT conditions with no further effect. I want to show you a last thing. About linear programming. Something you already know. Okay. This is the usual form you were given a problem of linear programming. Okay? So, capital X is the feasible region, and this is the objective function. What are the KKT conditions in this case? Okay? Okay, we did KKT for minimization, so the first thing to do is that we rewrite this problem. We rewrite this problem as minimizing minus the objective function. So we switch this line. Okay, so actually I have to take F here with this minus. Okay, so let's write KKT condition. The gradient of F is minus C. Minus C. Plus lambda I, and what are the gradients of the functions here? I just erased them. The GIs you have your, on your notes. The gradient was AI. Okay. Notice here you are having AI and you multiply by a vector of lambda. Okay, so each lambda I multiplies the corresponding rho. This is actually lambda transpose A equals 0. Okay, or if you like it best also, this way. So, and this is also, you can write that lambda transpose A equals C. Okay. Then we know that multipliers must be non-negative. Lambda must be greater or equal than 0. What is coming in? Do you remember in a programming you had the dual problem? And these were the lambdas were the variable of the dual problem. You probably call them y. Okay, but it's just a name. And these were the constraints. So, Lagrange multipliers rules for linear programming is telling you that lambdas are the feasible variables of the dual. Okay? And then we have this complementarity condition. But this complementarity condition reads, read this way. And these were what you call in linear programming complementarity slackness condition, static complementarity. So for linear programming, The kicking condition is something you have already seen in your operational research course. Okay? They are telling you, I have a minimum point, then there must be, I must have a feasible solution of the dual which satisfies the complementarity slackness condition with my primal solution. Check your lecture notes on linear programming. These were telling you that these are necessary and sufficient conditions for optimality. Okay. So, the message is the following. In linear programming, KKT conditions are what you already know. Okay? Duality, dual problem, feasibility of primal and dual problem, plus complementarity slackness, which are the conditions which characterize the optimal solution of linear programs. So, we take 5 minutes break, it's a bit late, then I'll show you just 2 things. How we can handle equality constraints with no rules, okay? And then the fact that under particular cases, under particular assumptions, the KKT conditions are also sufficient conditions for optimality.